Now we get to the lesson. Hope you still got your Bibles with you. We will be going through various verses, of course. So tonight we're continuing on with our summer series, Christians and His Influence, Using Your Influence to Strengthen. We all have a favorite story, a battle story. Every guy has a favorite army movie, battle movie. Maybe the ladies do as well, or had to watch it with your spouse. But a movie where the army's facing an insurmountable odds. As Christians, we're in a battle for our souls. We need to be influenced, to be strong in our fight. One of my favorite movies is Braveheart. It's a movie about Scottish independence from the English army, from the King of England. One of my favorite scenes in there is where you're looking out and you see the English army with all their weapons of strength and just this vast army. And then you see the Scottish folks, the peasants, the farmers, with their pitchforks, with their swords. Some had swords, some had different things, but they were clearly outmanned. And at one point, they're in there, and they are looking out, and they see this odds, and they see how strong these folks are. And at some point, they decide, I'm leaving, right? They start to walk away. Because they thought, we're not going to die just for these folks, right? Then William Wallace rides in. Of course, I like it because he's got his face painted and acting crazy, right? And I'm okay with some of that. But he gives a rousing speech, and he tells them, you're fighting for something bigger than you. You're fighting for your freedom, right? And he gives them a rousing speech, and he stands up, and he's one guy, right? And all they had other leaders out there, but they weren't following them, right? They didn't believe in those guys. And William Wallace comes in and tells them, hey, we're gonna fight, and this is for freedom. So, of course, they stayed. I know this is a movie, but it still makes the point, right? Isaiah 41, 6 and 7. Isaiah 41, 6 and 7. Sorry, I don't have nice, pretty PowerPoints. Even though I'm an IT guy, I just shy away from them. I prefer to let your mind consider in your mind these things. So, everyone helped his neighbor, verse 6. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. It is not enough that we seek and save the lost. We must strengthen those that are saved. Acts 14, 21 through 22. And when they had preached, and you can turn to some of these or just listen, that's fine too. But Acts 14, 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Acts 15, 40 and 41. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Acts 18, 22 and 23. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. We must never forget that along with evangelism, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in earth, heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command thee. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And benevolence, another point of the church, pure and undefiled, I'm sorry, James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What else does the church do? So we reach out and we seek and save the lost. We visit the orphans and the widows. The church also embraces edification. It's building up the body and strengthening each other. Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I love this verse. It talks about everybody doing their part, everybody being a part of everybody, everybody supplying what the others need. We, you and I, must be about encouraging each other, not just here. We are here. If you are a member here at this church, we need to build each other up, right? But if you're out in the world, you need to build other Christians up and other congregations of the Lord's church. And not just those, but you know, we have missionaries that go in the world. They need encouragement as well. So that's mine and your job. Brethren, we need to grow in our knowledge so that we're stronger. We need to move from the ones that need encouragement to the ones doing the encouragement. So God wants strong Christians and God wants strong churches. Joey mentioned in his lesson a couple weeks back, maybe last week, talking about somebody calling him and asking him about if there's a sound church in this area or whatever. We do that on vacation, right? We go on vacation. We used to go camping when we were little. We don't do it so much now that we're old. So we like to stay home. But when you go out in the world, you need to know that there's a strong church somewhere, right? How many times have you stopped in and maybe Joey said, I've never been in that area, or you couldn't find a connection? How many times have you showed up at a congregation that maybe was this size at one time and now it's a handful, right? 5, 10, 15 people. I've always wondered what happened, right? What happened to this congregation? Did everybody move away? I'd like to think everybody moved away. The railroad moved or whatever. But there has to be more to it at times. I think people are falling away and the truth is not being taught, would be my guess, as one of the factors. Or they're not being encouraged as well. Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edifying. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplying. You can't build strong churches on weak members. Therefore, God wants strong members. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Romans 4:20, He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. 2 Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Jesus Christ. Okay, so God wants strong churches. We are instructed to strengthen others. As we talked about in the last section, the church is the body of Christ. We're all members of His body. We make up the body here at Roanoke. Ephesians 1:22-23. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And He is the head of the body, Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Colossians 1:24. Actually, I'm going to skip that. Being members of such, we are members of one another. Romans 12:4 through 5. We have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one in body in Christ and individually members of one another. We have a responsibility to strengthen each other. But we have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, Luke 22:32, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So many verses tell us about strengthening, growing, edifying. So keep that in mind as we continue on a little bit. Romans 14:1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. 1 Corinthians 14:26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. 1 Thessalonians 5:11-14, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. Now exhort your brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. And here's something I need to work on, is be patient with all. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works in Hebrews 10:24. All parts of the body must work together. Not everybody here has the same talent. Some are teachers, some are encouraging folks, some are, we have elders and deacons, and some are song leaders. Whatever your talent is, we need to use our talents. But when one part of the body is missing, the whole body isn't what it could be. So who needs to be strengthened? I would say everybody needs to be strengthened, but let's talk about three areas. Babes in Christ need to be strengthened. Those who have just put on Christ. We have recent converts to Christ, and we should be building them up, right? 1 Peter 2:1-3, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When you decide to be a Christian, that's when the world kicks in. And a lot of people come out of families that are religious, and families can take a toll on you when you change from worldly denominations. We need to know this about our families and our new converts, and we need to build these folks up so that they're strong and so that they can grow in Christ. Immature Christians need to be strengthened. Hebrews 5:12-14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk only is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason or of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Lots of reasons why folks are not growing. The world puts a pressure. The world tells people that you don't need to study, you don't need to grow. Other pressures, you know, maybe we're not spending enough time in God's Word. If folks are studying, and I would encourage everybody, since this is about encouragement, take 30 minutes every day to study, to grow. Not just to read, but to study. Take time. We all have so many apps. We have so many things. My son sent me a scripture typer, right? It's an application to help you learn scripture better, right? And you walk through it, and it gives you some different ads for different ways to learn Scripture. Work on things and grow. But let's encourage each other. Encourage our immature Christians, those that need extra time and extra help. How about those in danger? What do you think of when I think of danger, right? Maybe somebody's had a death in the family. Maybe they've lost a loved one, a spouse, family struggles, right? We all have things in our families that cause us a lot of grief at times, and it could be distant family members or what have you, but there's a lot of struggles that we have. Maybe financial struggles, whatever pulls us away. We all have battles. We all have things that make us, that pull us away from God. When somebody's in this state, you may not know what's going on with them. You may not be able to, you know, to empathize with their situation. You may not know exactly what's going on, but you being there and bearing your brother's burden. Satan uses these problems against us. So when something happens in our life that kicks us really hard, there are times when we pull away, right? Because that embarrassment kicks in. We hide. We don't want to burden others, maybe. Maybe we're a private person, you know, and our society kind of teaches that, hey, be strong, suck it up, you know. And I say that too because I want folks to be tough. But when it comes to your brethren here, your brethren wherever you're at, I think it's a bad thing for us not to open up and care about each other. You know, we have ladies' Bible class. We've started men's breakfast every third Saturday. I'll give that a plug while I'm here. It's good time to be with your brethren and to get to know each other. Satan's alive and well. The Bible tells us Satan is alive and well, and he is out to get us, right? He wants to take as many people down that long, dark road that he can. If you were drowning, let me ask you this. If you were drowning, would you just sit there? Or would you just start yelling, help me, right? Would you reach out? You wouldn't care who heard you or who knew what situation you were in, that you got caught by an undertow or whatever. You would yell out to everybody, I need help. So whatever we're struggling with, whatever our brothers are struggling with, we need to reach out if we need help, but we also need to help our brother if they need it. I'll tell you, it's hard to reach out at times. There are things but I'm an open guy. What you see is what you get. I don't hide too many things when I'm talking to you, but I do reach out. I reach out to my brethren all the time, my close friends and brothers here in the church, because I need help. I need encouragement. You know, the world hits me hard at times, so use the tools that you have, and your brethren should be a heavy, heavy tool. So we know that we should be helping, and we need a strong church. How about ways that we can edify and strengthen the body here? Turn with me to Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. So here's an idea. Here's some things we can do. First and foremost is love your brethren. Love your brethren. A deep, heartfelt desire as one of your family. Somebody that you care about. We should consider each other as a close relative, a brother. We're Christians, right? We're Christian brothers and sisters. We should not hold any malice in our heart for our brethren. We should have love. We should care about each other. I picture it like this. If your child, if you have children, or if you were a child, imagine you're at your child is at somebody's house and they get hurt, do you want that person, do you want that person to, you know, look at that child that's hurt, that needs help, that needs to be taken care of, to go, hey, hurry up, you know, you're okay? Or do you want them to go out there, I mean, I'm talking about blood, you know, done broke their leg or something, right? You want them to go out there and grab that child and keep them from danger and build them up and take care of them, right? That's what we should have. We should have that same compassion for our brothers. If we know that they're struggling, we should reach out to them. Don't worry about hurting their feelings. Don't worry about whatever. Let them know you care. And side note, I'm saying all these things to me, right? This is a lesson for Sam. So let's have that same focus to build up the body. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Let us speak to each other as to exhort. How else can we strengthen the body? Let us speak words of encouragement. I hope that we are in our talk. I love to hear everybody talking, walking around, and we hear everybody encouraging one another. Rarely do I ever, I'm probably the one that gives somebody discouragement. I hope I haven't. If I have, I apologize, but because I say whatever's on my mind and I talk to folks and I kid around. But let's try and speak words of encouragement. Deuteronomy 3:28. But command Joshua, encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Words can tear us down or it can build us up. Hopefully we're giving out more encouragement than discouragement. We're human, however. We make mistakes, right? I know I make lots of them. So if someone's wronged you, let them know. Let them know so that you can forgive them. And even if they don't tell you, forgive whoever. Don't hold grudges. It's hard, brethren, to live in this world, and I think that's a tool that Satan uses to pull us down. So my encouragement to you is to not let that bother you, to forgive. Let us teach each other. The Word of God is able to build you up. The most important thing you will know, if your brethren is not mature enough and hadn't been encouraging you, God's Word will encourage you if you take the time to study God's Word. Open it. Dig in. Don't just drop a chapter. Really have a study guide. Understand how the Bible's laid out, and it'll build you up. Acts 20:30-32. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. He cared, right? He warned them and he told them, things are going to happen. Just like today in 2018 in the United States, there are so many things that pull us away from God. We can learn from God's Word. I commend you to God, to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. 1 John 2:14, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Encourage each other to get busy in the kingdom. I am always encouraged when I see these young folks get up here and lead prayers and lead singing, things I cannot do on the singing side. But it's encouraging to me when folks step out of their comfort zone and they do those things that they need to do and they try to get better. That's encouraging to me. So I'll encourage you men, right? If you're nervous about getting up and saying a prayer, if you're getting nervous about leading singing, if you have those abilities, If you don't have those abilities, work on them, right? Let's don't use these as excuses, because we're all nervous. Everybody, you have to step out of your comfort zone. We're all getting nervous up here. It's not something I'm extremely comfortable with. But we got to do it to get better. It's encouraging, and it'll build you up. Here's something else we can do. Pray for each other. That costs you nothing, right? And everybody can do it wherever you are. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray that this congregation continues to grow first and foremost spiritually. We're going to build a new building, and there's going to be challenges with that. We'll have more members come in from different areas, and we need to be a strong congregation and build up our elders, build up our deacons, build up our teachers so that the word is taught and we don't stray from that. So we can pray for each other, build each other up that way. I know that we reach out when there's a brother or sister that it's absent. And I know we have our visitation groups. Those are good things. And I know there's a lot of people that do a lot of good things outside of those programs with encouragement. But I just encourage you to reach out, look around you. You know, make sure that we're a phone call to our brethren and say, hey, we missed you. We care about you. We want you to be back. And we also know that there are folks that maybe aren't here, that, you know, that hadn't been here for a while. Let's don't let that be the norm. Let's take it into our heart and do everything we can. We may be the one person that person needs to come back. Let them know we love them. Other things we can do, invite folks to dinner. All right, if you can't cook or you're worried about how your house looks, take them to dinner. It's not about the food, it's about fellowship, it's about building each other up. If we know each other, the closer we are as a family, the better position we'll be to help somebody. 2 Corinthians 2:19, again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. All right, so if I asked you of an example in the Bible of someone that encourages, you would automatically go to Barnabas, maybe. That's what we always go to. There's lots more examples of folks that can be an encouragement to us in the Bible, but he's an example that comes out more often. So let's talk about Barnabas and the things that he did in the last 15 minutes we have. Barnabas means son. In Acts 4:36, we read Barnabas means son of consolation, son of exhortation, and son of encouragement. This surname was given to him by the apostles because of the traits that he had. What would our surname be if someone were to change ours based on our traits? Would it be brother critic, brother complainer, sister fault finder, sister pessimist, brother annoyance? I think I'd be the last one. Every example we read of Barnabas, we read of him helping someone. The Bible is there for our learning, for our growth, for our edification, right? So let's make sure, if you've never done a character study of Barnabas, take time. My encouragement. Acts 4, 35 and 37. I only have three more pages, so we're good. So we're going to be good on time. Acts 4, 35 through 37. And laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it to the apostles' feet. So here he is, a good example of doing good for the poor. In Acts 9:26 through 31, he is helping Saul. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. I picture this as, what if, of course, this was years ago, but I always thought, I equate this same thing to what if what if Osama bin Laden had converted and become a Christian, right? Somebody that was so horrible and so hateful, and what if he came to church one day? People would be afraid. But here's, so Saul had that same thing. He did a lot of horrible things in his life to Christians. But here's Barnabas. Took him, in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if he had not stood up for Paul and he just said, you know, no, I don't want to get involved. That's a bad guy. I'm not going to put my name on the line. Saul was a bad man, but he stood up. We need to do the same thing and be strong and not waver. An encourager in winning the lost. Acts 13, 1 and following. We're not going to read that, but you can. He was with Paul on his first missionary journey, the journey to preach and teach Christ. An encourager to those who had turned back. Acts 15, 36 through 41. Acts 15, 36 through 41. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So he was willing to stand up for someone who had fell at one time, right? We need to make sure that we're that to those who've fallen away at times. In 2 Timothy 4:11, we read the conclusion of that, where Barnabas' decision to stand by John Mark was encouraged. 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me to ministry. How many brethren have obeyed the gospel and turned away? Maybe they would have returned if someone had given them another chance and pulled them back. When someone comes back, let us make sure that we have a good spirit and that we love them and build them up. Because again, that's a pull that takes our brethren away, and if they decide to come back, they may be thinking that if I go back, they're going to judge me. As Christians, we need to love our brethren. He was an encourager to new converts. Acts 11, 22 through 26. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was, for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. My brethren, everyone needs encouragement. Everyone that is not a Christian needs encouragement to become a Christian. Let's focus on building each other up, to building our our brethren up first, but also remembering we need to be an encouragement in the communities and to be ready to preach Christ to any and all that are not saved. Pray that we can help all those around us. Let's end with a prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for all thy blessings. We're so thankful, Father, for the avenue of prayer where we can come to you and offer these things and ask these things, that you, as a Father, will hear us, that you know the things that we need, that you know that we struggle at times. We bow before you, Father, asking you to give us strength, give us encouragement as we read and we study thy word, as we take it into our heart and be prepared to go into the world. We pray, Father, as a congregation here at the Lord's Church in Roanoke, we pray for our elders, we pray for our deacons, we pray for our teachers and all the families here, Father, that we'll be stronger as a family to love each other, to be kind and loving and care about the fate that happens to us. When things happen, help us to lift each other up, to grow. We pray for the world, Father, that your word is preached to every corner. We know that it's gone to every part of the world, Father, but we know we have a job to do, to build us up so that we can give an answer to all those we work with, that we live by, of our families that are lost. Help us that we won't waste another moment, that we'll care about others with fervent love. So thankful, Father, for thy word that guides us. Just help us that we will be able to apply it. Be with our country and our leaders. Help us to remain a free nation so that we can openly serve and save souls. So thankful, Father, for Christ, for the love that sent him to die on the cross, to take on all our sins, Father, so that we could have eternal life one day. Help us that our hearts will be pure. So thankful for material things in life, but we're thankful most importantly for Christ and the Word. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.